It is nearly 12 o'clock, and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT, broadcasting on 100.1 FM. It is your public radio station here in beautiful downtown Kodiak, Alaska. It certainly is a nice day. 40 degrees and fair skies in Kodiak, and calm winds and 10 miles of visibility at the airport. The Weather Service is calling for sunny skies for the rest of the day with southwest winds to 20, gusting to 25. Scattered rain and snow showers tonight, at least until 9 or so, followed by scattered rain showers. Mostly cloudy overnight tonight with a low of 34, south winds to 20. And look for showers, then rain tomorrow. Rain and snow for Wednesday and Thursday. A chance of it. Coming up on the Midday Report, an update on the deadly Wrangell landslide. And KSTK's Colette Zarnicki visited the only known survivor in the hospital. Plus, Senator Lisa Murkowski has a method to cool the madness in Congress. Those stories and more after national headlines.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. The Israeli military says 11 more Israeli hostages have been released by Hamas as Israel prepares to release more Palestinian prisoners and detainees on this fourth day of the Israel-Hamas temporary ceasefire. NPR's Daniel Estrin has the latest from Tel Aviv.
All 11 released were taken hostage from the same kibbutz community near the Gaza border October 7th. Some of them have dual French, German, and Argentinian citizenship. The community said those being released are mothers and children as young as 3 years old, who all have fathers still in captivity in Gaza. Qatar says Israel, for its part, is releasing three women and 30 Palestinian minors who were being held on various charges in Israeli jails. Daniel Estrin, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
The man accused of shooting and injuring three U.S. college students of Palestinian descent in Burlington, Vermont, has pleaded not guilty to charges of attempted second-degree murder. Jason Eaton's been arraigned and is being held without bond. Rich Price, whose nephew Hisham Awatani was among those shot, says he's stunned.
Tragic irony is not even the right phrase, but to have them come stay with me for Thanksgiving and have something like this happen speaks to the level of civic vitriol, speaks to the level of hatred that exists in some corners of this country. It speaks to a sickness of gun violence that exists in this country.
Federal authorities have warned of an increase in attacks on Palestinian, Muslim, and Jewish communities in the U.S. since the start of the Israel-Hamas war. Former First Lady Rosalynn Carter lies in repose at the Jimmy Carter Presidential Library Museum, allowing members of the public to pay their respects. Mrs. Carter passed away earlier this month at the age of 96. Annual climate talks begin later this week in Dubai. NPR's Rebecca Hersher reports tens of thousands of people are expected to attend.
The main events at global climate negotiations are talks between world leaders about how to rein in greenhouse gas emissions and pay for the costs of a hotter planet. But on the sidelines, oil and gas companies are expected to be particularly well represented around this year's talks, which are being held in the petroleum-dependent United Arab Emirates. That has some climate experts concerned about the influence of fossil fuel lobbying. At the same time, other experts point out that annual negotiations are a crucial platform for those who are being hit hardest by climate-fueled disasters, including low-lying and less wealthy countries that are fighting for financial support to deal with the effects of climate change. Rebecca Hersher, NPR News.
The Dow is down 56 points at 35,333. It's NPR.
NPR News is presentada a usted en parte por la Providence Kodiak Island Centro de Asesoramiento. Para una cita o más información, por favor, llama al 907-481-2400.
Support for KMXT comes from Alaska's most advanced network. GCI's resilient and redundant network is keeping schools connected across the state. Details at gci.com/education.
For KMXT, I'm Terry Haynes. 1 week ago, a deadly landslide came down across Zamovia Highway in Wrangell. It took down two family homes, killing four people. Two people are still missing, and one woman survived and is in good condition. The body of 11-year-old Kara Heller was recovered over the weekend. Wrangell's interim borough manager, Mason Belarma, said that's a testament to the ongoing search effort.
Truly one of the triumphs for the search and rescue team to be able to provide, hopefully, the start of some closure for the family, and hopefully they find everybody.
The bodies of Kara's sister, Mara, and her parents, Timothy and Beth, were found earlier in the week. Her brother, Derek Heller, is still missing, along with neighbor Audie Florschutz. Search canines remain on the scene, but the Alaska Department of Transportation has started to clear the road. A 200-foot stretch remains blocked by landslide debris. Until it is cleared, about 55 households towards the end of the highway are only accessible by boat. The city, along with community volunteers, has been providing them with supplies.
Our focus is the 11 to 13-mile folks that are stranded out there without power and supplies, and we've been trying to provide as many accommodations as possible, everything from prescription medications to fuel to generators.
Department of Transportation spokesperson Shannon McCarthy said the primary goal is to clear one lane of traffic to allow for the flow of emergency personnel and utility workers who will work to restore the power. It's expected that will happen in a matter of days.
DOT is dedicated to restoring this connection for Wrangell and supporting the search and rescue efforts.
But the landslide significantly damaged the road. There's no clear timeline for when it will be open to the general public. Among those still missing from last week's Wrangell landslide is 65-year-old Audie Florschutz, who is married to the only found survivor, 63-year-old Christina Florschutz. KSTK's Colette Zarnicki visited her in the hospital just 3 days after rescuers found her. Here's what she says happened that night.
I had gone upstairs, which is important to the story, to take a shower because I like the shower up there. And I had just gotten out of the shower and I was still just in my undies. And I heard this horrible noise, a very loud noise, and I recognized it. I've heard tornadoes and I've heard a mudslide before. I knew what was happening, but I didn't have any warning. I heard a noise and suddenly I'm like a piece of weightless popcorn being tossed around all over the place and slamming into things and everything. And then I don't remember anymore for a while. Apparently I was out for a little while. And I could look, and my heart was just pounding. I had so much adrenaline, but I looked, and I could see some tree limbs. I was underneath this shelf edge that I figured out by feeling that it was part of the styrofoam roof of the house. And that's why the upstairs is important, because I was way up high. And it was canted at an angle. And then there was a bunch of debris piled right here. But there was just enough room for me underneath there. I was getting rained on and it was very windy. And I kept telling myself, you can breathe. You saw the tree. You're not buried. You must be near the top of the pile, wherever it is. And I had no idea it was that big of a slide at that point. I touched a plastic bag and I instantly knew what it was, because I had a large plastic bag up there in my sewing room, which was upstairs, and it was full of polar fleece yardage. Right then and there, I knew I was gonna live. I was gonna live. I was meant to live. God put that there for me so that I wouldn't die from hypothermia. So I squirmed back underneath there, and I untied the bag and pulled the polar fleece kind of up over me and then pulled the bag over me to try and shield me from some of the rain anyway, and proceeded to wait until morning. It wasn't pleasant. It wasn't fun. I got terribly cold, and I had awful leg cramps. I was screaming with the leg cramps at times. And during the night, it was still really dark. I heard a very strange thump, 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 thump. What is that? And at first I thought it was somebody poking through the wreckage with a pole or something. And I'm hollering out, "Hey, I'm over here," you know. And thump, 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 thump. And then I realized, oh, it's one of my dogs sitting up there wagging its tail. So I talked to the dog during the night and told it to bark when somebody came so that if I was kind of half out of it, I'd be able to holler. And I haven't seen her. She wasn't there in the morning when it got light. And I squirmed out of there. I was shaking really hard, so my feet, right at that corner of the house, was this bag. And this is part of the story. It's full of women's extra large and large jammy bottoms I buy at the thrift stores. And they're really good quality polar fleece. I shouldn't be telling my secrets. I had a bag just full of pajama bottoms. And so I put this pair on my head. I just pulled it over my head and then wrapped the legs around my neck and knotted it on. And then I put my arms in another pair and I pulled on another pair. And then there were some scraps in the bag that are laying around that I could just wrap around my feet to protect them. And I took the bag with the rest of the jammy bottoms with me because I knew once I got past that mud flat, I was going to be all muddy and horrid. And I would want to get some warm, dry clothing on. So I had that with me, and I just decided to start going. I couldn't go very fast, but I decided to just keep going. And I was about halfway across the debris field. I found a piece of siding from off the house. And when it was a really soft spot, I'd throw that out there and kind of step across it till I could get to a piece of debris that was more solid. And then I'd grab it and go to the next one. And I have no idea how long it took, but I was so cold. Because then I'm out in the wind and the rain and everything. And I am so cold. And I get about halfway across that field, and I can see where the trees are standing up, and there's a great big log jam there, so it's an edge. And I see hats coming through the trees, baseball caps. And I thought, people! Boy, am I glad to see you! And they heard me yell, and they came and got me. And it was not easy to get me across the rest of that field. It took about six or seven of them. They put me in a sled and dragged me across that field. And they worked so hard to get me over there because they were dragging that sled and they didn't have the plywood and they're heavier and they're sinking and stuff. And then they got me to a place where I could walk a little ways and then put me in this toasty warm truck. That's how I lived.
That was Christina Florschutz, a Wrangell resident who survived a massive fatal landslide on November 20th. She says that thinking about the third graders she works with as a teacher's aide helped her survive the tragedy. After she heals up, she can't wait to get back to them. Health professionals discussed the potential of psychedelic therapy in Alaska last week. The panel was hosted by the Alaska Ethnogenic Awareness Council. Entheogens are plant-based psychedelic substances, though the experts also discussed synthetic psychedelics. Melissa Bradley is an epidemiologist for the Alaska Division of Public Health. She says when she started studying public health, she was floored by the data supporting psychedelic therapy.
I saw the statistical significance of the data, and it's unlike anything else in the social sciences. There's huge potential there, not just from a clinical perspective, but from a scientific perspective.
Most psychedelic therapy is not legal in Alaska, except for ketamine therapy. Ketamine is an anesthetic with hallucinogenic effects, but it's also used to treat depression, suicidality, and other mental illnesses. The panel discussed stigma as a barrier to wider acceptance of psychedelic therapies. Dr. Tammy Lubich-White is trained in psychedelic therapy. She says both good and bad stereotypes of psychedelics can be harmful. She says fears about addiction can keep people from trying this therapy, and she says psychedelic experiences are not always positive. But despite stigma, some cities like Seattle, Washington, and Washington, D.C., as well as Detroit, and states like Oregon and Colorado, have decriminalized psilocybin. That's the active ingredient in psychedelic or so-called magic mushrooms. Bradley talked about a study in a medical journal that uses cannabis legislation in the United States to predict a majority of states will likely legalize psychedelics within 10 to 15 years. But Bradley says it's important to dig into details of legalization as it emerges to make sure it's well written.
If states do it right, they can be the leaders in this. That policy will be able to inform not only other states, but potentially federal legislation.
Alaska was one of the earliest states to decriminalize and legalize cannabis, but the state has not yet considered bills to decriminalize psychedelics. An outbreak of bad, nearly violent behavior erupted in Congress last week before lawmakers departed for Thanksgiving break. Alaska's senior U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski noticed. She suggests an unusual remedy that she says can provide at least short-term relief: singing. Alaska Public Media Washington correspondent Liz Ruskin explains.
Last Tuesday was a low point for congressional decorum.
I got elbowed in the back, and it kind of caught me off guard because it was a clean shot to the kidneys, and I turned back, and there was Kevin.
I did not run and hit the guy. I did not kidney punch him.
A Tennessee congressman says former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy jabbed him in a hallway. That same morning, Senator and former cage fighter Mark Wayne Mullen talked smack with a hearing witness. Committee Chairman Bernie Sanders had to step in before it came to blows.
No, sit down. Sit down. You're a United States Senator. Sit down.
Active.
Okay, sit down, please.
Meanwhile, in a House hearing, the chairman called another member a liar and a smurf. Senator Murkowski says Congress has to do better.
I've been really disappointed with what I have seen, and it's not acceptable.
She says some of her equally dismayed Senate colleagues have been discussing how to reverse the trend.
To just remind people that relationships matter, and how we treat one another matters.
What is she doing to set a better example? Murkowski hosted a bipartisan sing-along a few weeks ago. Yes, a sing-along, a senatorial sing-along. The piano player and lead singer from the jazz pop orchestra Pink Martini were in town, and Murkowski invited everyone to a Senate reception room to sing.
People are going
to
think that's kind of crazy and goofy.
Murkowski says she considers it a mental health break and an exercise in collegiality.
And 45 minutes is not going to cause the world to fall apart. In fact, it might help us reframe, refocus, and get a little energized about working together.
We don't have any recordings of that sing-along, but the next night, Murkowski and Senator Chris Coons got on stage with Pink Martini for a replay. Majesties, Senator Coons can really belt it out. And Murkowski, as she puts it, she has a lot of enthusiasm. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
Shoppers spent carefully over Thanksgiving weekend. I'm Novosavo with the Marketplace Minute. We're in the period when retailers traditionally dangle discounts to entice holiday shoppers. On Black Friday, sales rose by 2.5% compared to last year, according to MasterCard's Spending Plus. That's below the rate of inflation. Today, Cyber Monday, Adobe Analytics predicts online shoppers will spend 5.5% more than last year. That's above the inflation rate. President Biden is expanding the powers of the Department of Health and Human Services. It will have the ability to invest in domestic production of medicines deemed critical to national security. I'm Novosavo with a Marketplace Minute.
Marketplace Minute is supported by Wealth Enhancement Group at wealthenhancement.com.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Monday. It is the 27th day of November, the year 2023. The sun rose today at 9:20. It will set again at 4:33, giving us 7 hours and 13 minutes of precious daylight. A loss of 3 minutes and 15 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record high temperature for this date was 51 degrees set in 1981, and our record low was 7 set in 2011. Currently a relatively warm 40 degrees in Kodiak under fair skies. It's a picture-perfect day. Southwest winds to 8 miles per hour, 10 miles of visibility. The Weather Service is calling for these southwest winds to continue 15 or so, gusting to 25. And they're going to bring in some scattered rain and snow showers this evening before 9, followed by scattered rain showers. Mostly cloudy overnight tonight with a low of 34, south winds to 20, gusting to 25. And look for showers tomorrow morning, followed by rain, south winds to 30 tomorrow, gusting to 45. So look for some weather to begin tomorrow. But for today, it's nice. We have an incoming tide. Our next high tide will be at 1:11 this afternoon here on the east side and be 10.6 feet. That will be followed by a minus tide. Our next low tide will be at 8:04 p.m. and be minus 1.5 feet, a significant minus tide for tide poolers or people with boats who might get hung up on a piling. Over on the west side, your high tide will happen at 1:46 this afternoon and be 16.5 feet. Followed by a low tide at 8:35 p.m. that will be a full minus 2.9 feet in Larsen Bay. Mariners, here is your weather forecast for Marmot Island to Sitkanak out to 15 nautical miles. Small craft advisory through Tuesday. Southwest 30 today, should come down to 20 sometime this afternoon. 10-foot seas. South 30 tonight with 10-foot seas and south 30 tomorrow with 11-foot seas. Over in the Shelikof Strait, gale warning for tomorrow, southwest 35 today, diminishing to 25 this afternoon. 12-foot seas are expected to come down to 8 feet this afternoon. Southwest 25 tonight with 8-foot seas, and south 35 tomorrow on our west side and seas to 9 feet. Well, Galley Tables is coming up on Friday. Don't miss it. It's happening at 7 p.m. in the Kodiak Marketplace. 7 storytellers have 7 minutes to tell their story based on the theme, Breaking the Ice. Doors open at 6:30 and the show starts with music by Drew Sablon at 7. Again, that's this Friday at the Kodiak Marketplace. Doors open at 6:30. Always lots of fun. Holiday Bells. The Isle Bells 13th Annual Concert will be happening on Sunday, the 10th of December. That will be going on between 4 and 7 p.m. on December 10th at the Gerald C. Wilson Auditorium. You can purchase tickets at kodiakarts.org, and this year's concert is featuring Hazel De Los Santos. Scuttlebutt continues. It's a Galley Tables workshop for youth. It happens on Tuesdays from 4 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. at the Kodiak Public Library's Craft Room. It's a free weekly storytelling workshop for students in grades 9 through 12. They practice building and sharing stories with the help of experienced storytellers. Again, that's tomorrow, 4 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. at the Kodiak Public Library's Craft Room. For more information, call 907-486-7396. The following are upcoming Kodiak Island Borough public meetings. On Tuesday, November 28th, the Joint Building Code Review Committee will be having its regular meeting in the Borough Conference Room, that's number 121, at 3 p.m. On Tuesday, November 28th, the Fire Protection Area Number 1 Board Work Session will be happening at the Bayside Fire Station. That's happening at 6 p.m. On Wednesday, November 29th, the Solid Waste Advisory Board will be having its regular meeting in the Kodiak Fisheries Research Center Conference Room at 5:15 p.m. All meetings are open to the public, and the meeting packets are available on the Kodiak Island Borough website. Please contact the Borough Clerk's Office at 907-486-9310 with any questions. And the Angels of Love program is going on. Place your loved one's name on an angel for display on the hospital holiday trees that are displayed in the Providence Kodiak Island Medical Center November 25th through January 13th. It's a chance to honor the life of someone you miss and celebrate the life of someone you admire. It's a $10 donation for each angel. You can make your donation by showing up in person at hospital admitting or the specialty clinic reception desk. Mail it to Kodiak Hospital Auxiliary, care of 1915 East Rezanoff Drive in Kodiak, or you can pay online at www.kodiakhospitalauxiliary.org. Mark your calendars for a lecture by Aleutic Museum archaeologist Patrick Saltonstall. Patrick will present the results from recent archaeological surveys in Santa Flavia Bay. Free and open to the public, that's happening this Friday at 5:30 p.m. at the Kodiak History Museum. And on December 8th, 9th, and 10th, Bethlehem Experience is going on. It's an indoor event at the Kodiak Baptist Mission. There's free entrance. You can experience the sights, sounds, smells, and taste of the city of Bethlehem at the time of Jesus' birth this Christmas season. The entire family will want to attend with plenty for everyone to do and see. Again, the Bethlehem Experience will be presented December 8th and 9th at 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. and December 10th from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. at the Kodiak Baptist Mission. And the Kiwanis tree sales are ongoing. That happens on the weekends, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. So Fridays, they're open from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. Saturdays, they're open from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. and Sundays from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. They're at the usual place at 111 Bartell Avenue, the cutoff road by the ATV shop. Also happening, Kodiak Harbor Lights Festival and Boat Parade. That's happening December 16th, 5 to 9 p.m. Join your friends and neighbors on Saturday, December 16th, to watch the Kodiak fleet decorated with holiday lights parade through the Near Island Channel. Boats will rendezvous at 6 p.m. north of the Near Island Bridge and proceed south through the channel to the Pier 2 in the Outer Harbor. Should high winds prevent the parade, the public is still encouraged to walk the floats to see the decorated boats in both Townside St. Paul Harbor and St. Herman Harbor on Near Island. For more information about any of this, contact the Kodiak Maritime Museum at 907-486-0384 or info@kodiakmaritimemuseum.org.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 2 times a day. Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. and during the midday report at 12:20. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.
Who let the dogs out?
Well, it's official. Dogs around the nation are leading the fight to fully fund public radio. Some are howling along with the All Things Considered theme. Some are barking in the yard for no apparent reason. Some are fixing you right now with a stare that could easily be mistaken as begging for treats. The message is clear, though. Dogs will no longer stand by while their owners listen to KMXT but do not contribute to their local public station. Be the human your dog wants you to be. Whether it's the cost of a latte a day or the cost of a latte a month, pitch in whatever you can. Just be sure not to cut into the snossage's budget. Here's how you can help. Call 486-3181 or go online to kmxt.org and click the Donate Now button.
Who let the